Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together on this Friday, December 12th, 2014, less than 2 weeks till Christmas. In fact, pretty soon we'll be singing the 12 days of Christmas. We're marching down. By way of announcement, tomorrow at the Decatur Civic Center, Blue Suede Crew, the Singing Men of GNN, the Mattoon High School Green Wave Singers, along with some other special guests, will be putting on a Christmas concert. It's kind of like a rock and roll Christmas concert because Scott Waddles with Blue Suede Crew does that whole Elvis tribute and uses a lot of Elvis songs. Yeah, on Wednesday we tried to figure out he's like a tributarian, but he's not. He doesn't want to be known as an impersonator, but he does the whole Elvis thing and sings very much like Elvis Presley did. And it's going to be a fun concert that I think you could be encouraged by. The Singing Men of GNN will do a number of their own arrangements and a sacred portion of the program, along with backing up Scott and Blue Suede Crew. But there's two shows this Saturday, two shows tomorrow. 3 p.m. and then 7 p.m. And it's just $10. So come and get your tickets at the door. Or if you need more information or directions or have questions that need answering, you can call the Decatur Civic Center at 877-840-0457. 877-840-0457. That's tomorrow at the Decatur Civic Center. And then a week from tomorrow at Marketplace Mall at noon, the Singing Men of GNN are putting on, I think it's our 17th year at Marketplace Mall.
Wow.
And 16 or 17, I'll just have that, since 1999. So if it's 2014 and you add one, I don't know, 15 or 16 years, I forget, you give or take a year because we started in 99. But we'll be putting on a Christmas concert at noon, free concert, usually 500, 700, 1,000 people in that food court. And so you can make a lunch date of it. There's all those different restaurants right there and lots of seating for everyone. And the mall does a great job. They set it all up for us, and we appreciate our relationship with Marketplace Mall. And that'll be happening a week from tomorrow on the 20th at noon in Champaign at the Marketplace Mall in Champaign. So, hey, did you see my little notes that were under the door? This is my first Christmas as a dad. And it's been a life journey with Esther and Holly, and we'll be on our one-year anniversary in a few weeks, but this came underneath the door as I've been in the studio this morning. This first little note, pink and green pencils, clean up your room, pet the cat, do not go fishing.
Oh, do you fish?
And feed the dog. No, we were at Walmart the other day looking for things, and there was all these little fishing rods and such, and Esther wanted one, and we said, no, we're not going to get you a fishing rod. It's wintertime, and you're not going to go fishing. And she started crying and made this big deal about needing a new fishing reel or something. I've never gone fishing with her yet, but I don't know. That must be somehow do not go fishing. I don't know where that came from. But children this time of year with all the festivities going on, and Santa's kind of a prominent. How's this for a transition?
That's, I think, pretty I know good. I was thinking, my gosh, this is really good. Well, I think he's going to land the plane.
Yeah. A lot of people kind of being drawn to Santa. Is that a good thing or not?
Well, it was something that I've been thinking about because I've interacted with a number of people who have made comments about it, or they've asked questions about it. You know, in fact, this past week, somebody asked me about Santa Claus, and they just, and I didn't think that was shocking or an odd thing because, I mean, it's Christmas time. It's central to kind of the secular presentation of what Christmas is this image or person Santa Claus? And so somebody asked me, they said, as a Christian, is Santa Claus bad for my children? Particularly, they were talking about things that have Santa Claus on them, you know, Advent calendars, mugs, all these different things, stockings, all these different things that have Santa Claus on them. Is it bad or is it good? And I think it's a question that begs to be answered, and especially from a Christian worldview. I've been listening to, and we've talked about this many times, Albert Mohler. He's the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and he does a daily briefing. He talks about world news, but he talks about it from a Christian worldview, and he continues to talk about worldview and saying that we can't bypass secular things, but instead we have to interact with them because that's what we're called to do. We're called to be in the world. Now, not of the world, and being not of the world means that we have a different kind of worldview where the world is concerned. And so even where Santa's concerned, we have to say, well, what is the Christian worldview on this thing called Santa? And that's really what this parent was asking me. Now, I think it's an interesting question. Is Santa bad for my children? And I would say this too, is Santa bad for you? So maybe you're one of these people who's a senior saint and you're a kid at heart. Or maybe you just love kind of the idea of Santa Claus. I'm going to be honest with you. When I was growing up, I loved Santa. Even now, I caught myself the other day, I was at Target, and they had a whole rack of these Coca-Cola Santa Claus t-shirts. And I thought, my gosh, the Coca-Cola Santa Claus. I just love it. I mean, he's kind of holly and he's jolly and he's holding the bottle of Coke. And I mean, it just really incites in me kind of the memories from as a kid with all the tinsel and all the garland and that kind of a Santa Claus. My grandmother had this little, I don't know if you would call it in the 70s animatronic or whatever, but it was like a little, looked like the Santa Claus from Coca-Cola, but you'd press his belly and he would ho, 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 and he had the furry suit on and all that. And I just have great memories as a kid of going up to the table and pressing that thing nonstop, just listening to Santa giggle and laugh. And so is Santa Claus bad for my children or for me? I would say this. I would say it's an and both. It's a yes and it's a no. Santa Claus is bad for your children if you don't properly define who Santa Claus is. If you're not vigilant in defining who he is for your kids and for you. Now, see, the reason I say that is because just like sex or marriage or right or wrong, moral or immoral, somebody's going to define these things for them and for you. Somebody is willing to define those. Somebody's willing to give you a message as to what these things mean. So it's not a question of if it will happen, but instead, who will do it? Will culture define that for you, or will you define it? Now, as a parent, and we talked about this on Wednesday when the angel came to Zechariah, and what did the angel say? Turn fathers, this movement towards Christ will turn fathers back towards their sons, which means that God desires that you as a father and you as a mother, you as a grandparent would have your heart turned towards your kids, and then therefore you would be helping them define things from a Christian worldview. You'd be helping them to define things as Christ would define them. And so I think we have to keep in mind that the culture is more than willing to define for us who Santa Claus is. And so I want to properly define Santa Claus right now. I want to properly define him at least in telling you who he is. Okay, so St. Nicholas was a Christian bishop. He was born in 280 AD in Patara in Lycia of Asia Minor. He became what is known as the gift giver of Myrrha, and he would go late at night. He was wealthy. He would go late at night after people were asleep so that his identity would not be known, and he would leave gifts at the doors of the neediest of people in that city. Now, it's interesting, he did it late at night so he wouldn't be known, but obviously at some point he became known. Now, eventually, St. Nicholas, and he became a saint in the Christian and Catholic tradition, he was named the patron saint of children in Russia and in Greece. Now, how do we get from that St. Nicholas to today, this bishop in Patara in Asia Minor, how do we get from there to today? Well, in about 1862, Thomas Nast, he invented or popularized the closer image of what we have of Santa Claus today. He first penned this, like I said, in 1862 at the Christmas edition of Harper's Weekly to memorialize the family sacrifices that were made during the darkest days of the Civil War. Nast's ideal for Santa came representative of his deep, deep traditional German upbringing. So this deep kind of German roots that he had, where the Saint Nicholas was the patron saint of kindness and generosity and giving, this is where this came from.
Now, was he Catholic in his background or his tradition?
He was a German Catholic Christian.
Okay.
And so he did this. Now, when he did this, it even says it on the drawings that he penned, that he wanted this to be representative of Christmas and the celebration of the birth of Christ. Hmm. So when he created these images of Santa Claus, he was drawing on this deep tradition of St. Nicholas, known for his kindness, known for his generosity. In fact, even today, German Christian tradition on December 6th is known as St. Nicholas Day, a time honoring St. Nicholas with generous gift giving. Therefore, the Santa Claus we see today was brought forth from a century-long tradition that was tied to a real person who embodied the generous and sacrificial nature of the season, that embodied all that Christ came to do in this season. Now, the Santa Claus we have today didn't come till the 1940s. Those images were drawn by a man named Haddon Sundblom, and he did that to help during the winter time to raise Coca-Cola's lagging sales. Coke was having
It was.
That Santa Claus was popularized by Coke, and Coke was having trouble selling Coke during Christmas time, during the winter months. So they popularized this Santa Claus drinking the Coke as a way to kind of spur people on. And it was an image that, I mean, quite frankly, is accessible and lovable. The big white beard, the holly jolly, the rosy red cheeks. And then coming behind that, we had movies like Miracle on 34th Street. We had The Night Before Christmas. We had all these kind of things coming behind that. And so this Sundblom created holly jolly, kind of disarming, holly jolly ideal of Christmas really fit in for our secular culture. It drove holiday sales. It drove holiday images. It created all these classic things.
And this was 1940-ish?
Yeah, roughly around the 40s and 50s. But this is what we have to get straight. This is where, so we understand now rightly who St. Nicholas is. St. Nicholas was a real person, a bishop who served in the church back in roughly 280 A.D. He was a real person. And this is important to know, that St. Nicholas at his root was a real person, because that means he was in the same position that you and I and that we all are in, which means that he was hopelessly fallen and in need of a savior. And I have to believe that he himself, that the original St. Nicholas, would have graciously sidestepped the secular notion that idealized his actions as Christmas, as what Christmas is. He would have said, no way, because as a Christian bishop, he would have said, Christmas is about Christ. The ideal for Christmas is not St. Nicholas, it's Christ. He would have graciously given that up and said, there's no way. So that means for me that the problem per se is not Santa Claus, but instead our own hearts and our need to idealize him as the ideal for Christmas. You know, we love the thought of somebody who embodies all that we struggle to be. I love to look at things and go, gosh, how could I be like that? I mean, and for Santa, he idealizes generosity, warmth, magic, love, and wonder, all these things that we want to see in the holiday season. By the way, all the things that are present in the manger. And so we look at Santa, we go, oh my gosh, Santa Claus. And we make St. Nicholas the ideal and the idol that he never intended to be. And by the way, the definition of an idol is taking a good thing, which St. Nicholas was, and making it a God thing, something that he definitely was not in him. He himself would say, I'm not. And then we become something that we begin to worship. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, has a similar struggle in Romans 7 in keeping what he thought was the ideal of the law. He saw the law. He strived after it. He tried as hard as he could. But in the end, he couldn't do what he thought it was supposed to do in him. And so a good thing, the scriptures, became a God thing that was worshipped in a greater way than the Creator who actually wrote those scriptures. And then we have at the pinnacle of Romans 7, Paul crying out and saying, I can't do it, it doesn't work, which is followed by what? Thanks be to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love the way Paul cries that out in Romans 7, because it means Lord of the covenant and promise, Savior, the one who would save from sin, Jesus, the anointed one in Christ, who is the Messiah. When we look at how Paul gives thanks in Romans 7, we see the power in and the power for which he stands. See, we have to get beyond the idea. I really believe this. We have to get beyond the idea that we ought to sidestep or run away from secular idols. We don't embrace them. But we shouldn't run from them, because the Apostle Paul stood in a sea of idols in Athens. And what did he do? He properly defined the idols, and then he lifted up the Savior. That's exactly what he did. As he stood in there and he saw millions of all these idols, thousands of them, he said, these are idols, these are idols, these are idols, these are idols, these are idols. And now let me tell you about the Savior. He properly defined them. The problem I think that some of us have is we're not properly defining the idols for ourselves and for our children, and therefore we don't know what to do with them. So we run from them instead of telling exactly what needs to happen. Because, listen, if someone's going to define that idol and that ideal for you and for your kids, so it better be someone who's powered by the gospel of Jesus Christ. One more thing that I want to share, because this is something that was on my heart and mind as I was just thinking about this, was writing this down, and I'll have this to share on my Facebook page so you guys could log in and read the actual text of it if you wanted to. But last year, maybe it was last year or the year before, I started to notice this image that kept appearing where Santa Claus was kind of leaning over and praying in the manger. He was on his knees and he was praying in the manger to Jesus. Have you seen that thing?
Mm.
No, it's like an image of Santa and he's praying. I've seen it in statues. Sometimes he's on one knee, sometimes he's on both knees, but he's leaned down and he's praying over the baby Jesus in the manger. And so I started to see him, and it made me think of Philippians chapter 2. Because in Philippians chapter 2 it says, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped. This is a great passage for now as we're in Christmas, because it talks about the incarnate Christ. Not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, and even death on a cross. Therefore God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Bible tells us that the culmination of all things, every knee will bow before Christ. Every knee, including the idols of our ideals as true perfection. Christ descends from the crowd. When he comes in perfection, everything is going to bow down to one knee. And when I look at that picture of Santa bowing in the manger, I say he's bowed because he's bowed to one knee, as the Bible says, in the majesty and presence of Christ, because he is but now an idol. The original St. Nicholas would have bowed before Christ. In fact, he did. He was a bishop of the church.
You know, I almost wonder, I'm thinking as I'm picturing St. Nick, and if he was living today, he'd be like, what have you done to Christmas? And in fact, I like the fact he was doing it anonymously. And I just wonder if in his heart of hearts he was doing it anonymously so God would receive all the credit and the glory.
Oh, I totally think so. So just before this passage in Philippians 2, where it talks about God becoming a man, it says this. Paul talks about the quality of a true believer, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but he says the quality of a true believer is someone who offers comfort from love, participation in the Spirit, affection and sympathy, complete joy by being of the same mind, of the same love, and in harmony born out of humility by seeing others more significant than you see yourself. You see, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, describes for us the very embodiment of St. Nicholas. And the very thing that through Christ is offered and accessible to every single one of us. Those of us in Christ who want to embrace Santa Claus because he seems removed from who we are missing the point that in Christ we are in the exact same place that he's in. That you can have a Christmas that's all about comforting with love and participating in the spirit of affection and sympathy and complete joy. By the way, complete joy is only available through Christ, because you're of the same mind and the same love and in harmony, and you have humility, and you see others more significant than you, and you give them gifts, and you share time with them, and you give of yourself to them. And so we don't have to seek Santa Claus. Instead, we need to realize that the very things that embodied St. Nicholas that became Santa Claus is the same things that are in Christ are available to us. And so therefore, instead of finding the ideal for Christmas, realize that the ideal for Christmas already rests inside of you. Already. That Christ, by his Spirit, the Spirit of God, which rests richly and deeply inside of you, is already there. And so you can stop seeking and searching all the other things. You won't have a Merry Christmas because a man in a red suit says you get to. But you know what? You don't have to run from that either. I guess for me, I wrote it, the whole thing, and really just thought about it out of the fact that I needed to properly define Santa Claus for my own kids. I needed to help my own kids understand exactly who he is, what he is, why he is. And it was very powerful to be able to say, look, you know what, Jacob? Santa Claus is the way he is, the way he was, because of Christ. Mm. And that same Christ is available to you. And you can be the exact same way also. And you don't have to put on a suit. You don't have to buy a beard. You don't have to do any of those things. All you have to do is worship Christ, who came and who's coming again.
Yeah, I'm thinking of those that maybe are unfamiliar, that they can have a relationship with God through Jesus and don't know the whole Christmas story, but are drawn to the concept of Christmas or drawn to this person, St. Nicholas, because he was caring and giving and loving and provided things anonymously and was a gift giver. And yet those people that are encouraged by the Christmas season can have the Christmas with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's all in Jesus. They may just never have been introduced to the fact that this is all representative of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. I mean, when you study Christmas and you really start to get underneath what Christmas is, Christmas was initially a pagan holiday. It was a Roman holiday called Saturnalia. And when Christians began to say this is roughly the time that we know that Christ came, it fell right in there. So we know basically from where Christmas kind of landed itself. Now, Christmas, we don't know the exact date. So, I mean, don't get all hyped up and mad. You know, it's the 24th and 25th-ish, somewhere in there, a window there. But Saturnalia was not a day. It was a longer holiday. And so the Bible tells us that God comes and he claims those things for himself. He redeems those things for himself. So God took what was essentially a huge pagan festival and he redeemed it for himself, by himself, through himself, for us.
Yeah, I think those Romans, it has something to do with like the shortest day, like winter, there's going to be more light. I've heard a radio spot that I've been hearing a bunch of times that talks about how Christmas all started. And the Romans, as they came to Christ, they're like, wait a minute, let's transform this day into, instead of the pagan holiday or worshiping the sun, let's worship the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, like where we can be in the world but not of the world. Yeah. They said, let's redeem this day and honor the Lord Jesus Christ.
And I've been saying to people all along, I've been saying, look, at Christmas is all about where your expectation is. And so if your expectation is in the presents and the perfect house and where you're going to go to gather and all those kinds of things, you will possibly have a happy holiday. Realize happiness is fleeting. Happiness is here today and gone in 15 minutes. And so, I mean, I've been happy and all of a sudden had some crushing weight come against me and that happiness is gone. But if your expectation is on Christ, you'll have a merry Christmas. And the word merry is tied to joy. And joy is something that transcends happiness. Joy is something that transcends circumstances. Joy transcends the fact that you'll have relatives who come over on Christmas and it may be difficult. Mm-hmm. And yet you'll still find a measure of joy with them and in their presence because of Christ. You know, we talked about on Wednesday, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you'll appear with him in glory. That glorious presence of Christ, who redeems all things, can even redeem your crazy, you know, family Christmas gathering.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we have to know that. But I just think that as Christians, from a Christian worldview, we need to get better at defining things through Christ and through the Bible. And what that does mean, and I'm going to challenge you right now, what that does mean is you're going to have to get in and read your Bible. You're going to have to get in there and look at what the Bible says. You're going to have to get involved in your church and get in a Bible study where you're walking through, you know, a good Bible-believing church, and you're walking through what the Bible says about things. Because somebody wants to define things for you. The culture is more than happy to define things for you. Those of you who are getting all crazy about and frustrated about what's happening with marriage and with sexuality and all those kinds of things, that's culture saying, look at church, if you don't want to define it, then we will. We'll be more than happy to define it. And we're coming from behind as the church saying, okay, now, and I hate to get off on another topic, but coming from behind saying, you know, oh my gosh, now we have to define it. When we should have been defining it all the time. I should be defining healthy sexuality for my kids when they're old enough and it is appropriate, because the Bible does that. 6 pages in my large print Bible, God gives us a Song of Solomon where he tells people what healthy sexuality looks like, what healthy dating looks like. I love, love, love in the one point in Song of Solomon where it says he's not yet married to her, so he doesn't look below her neck and above her knees, because he wants to honor her and he wants to honor God. And God's given us everything that the Romans tells us. The Bible has been given us to us so that we will have everything that we need for life and joy. And yet we are so ill-equipped in the Bible. So get in a Bible-believing church. Start reading the Bible. Even right now, start reading that Advent story with your kids and with your grandkids. If you're an older grandparent and you're like, well, my kids are in their 30s, call them up. Call them up and say, you know what? You know I love Jesus. I'm a little crazy. Maybe you'll say it's senility. I'm not quite sure. But I'm going to read the Christmas story with you right now over the phone.
Yeah.
Just start doing
that. And they would love that.
They would love that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reminded of, we have a little book that we read our kids. and I forget the name of it. A listener will probably let us know. But it talks about, it starts in the book with the mom, and she's younger, and she would get the baby, and she would rock the baby to sleep, and it goes through the baby's life. The baby grows up, the baby becomes a teenager, the baby becomes a man, but nothing changes. The mom always takes the son and rocks him and loves him. And at the end of the story, the mom is an older senior saint, and it ends with the son rocking the mom in the chair and holding that. And that happens because we share with our kids. We properly define for our kids what it means to love, and Christ is love.
And during this Advent season, receive that message, because it's a truth. God does, in fact, love you, and he's shown it in so many different ways. And this Christmas story is one of the many pictures where he lays out his very love for you, coming to this earth to redeem us. Emmanuel, God with us. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend. And hope to see many of you at the Decatur Civic Center tomorrow for a Singing Men concert, along with Blue Suede Crew and the Muhammad High School Green Wave Singers. And you can find out more at... at 1-877-840-0457, 877-840-0457. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. Jason has a new toy in his hand here, a little iPhone with all sorts of apps or something, sound apps. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.